With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Bink at Nine, Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney, Editor-in-Chief, ArrowheadPride.com, the great Julio Sanchez, Rocco, back behind the glass, and Rocco's doing a fantastic job with the leadership of Julio Sanchez.
So flattering.
I'm very nice. I'm a very nice person.
Julio is a leader.
He is a leader. Julio Sanchez, blushing here on Saturday afternoons with Chris Unocero and Jillian Carroll.
We actually have a show this week, too.
You do?
We do.
It all starts with the leadoff, Brandon Kiley, 10 a.m., followed by Dusty and Nick. Good show, 12 to 3, Out of Bounds. Great show. Programming on Saturdays. Don't forget about Bink Sunday. That's a really good show.
I'm not even just saying
everybody
this.
Forgets about that one.
The programming on Saturday is legit good. If you are in the car or something on Saturday, make sure you tune in. Maybe you can skip Sunday.
Well, Sunday 10 to noon is good.
It's okay. Sunday's okay.
Saturday.
Even nobody talks about that. I'm on Sundays. No one talks. They just talk Saturday.
Saturday is the time to be listening to the radio.
Yes,
you're
going to
skip
you.
One day of the weekend.
No.
Shut that radio off on Sunday.
Don't.
Only between the hours of 10 and noon.
I was going to give you credit for something. Big Pete, this guy shouldn't be treating me like this. I'm going to talk about you because you retweeted an article that once again caught my ire. Not my ire because I was mad, but it caught my eye. And you were talking about the leadership of the Honey Badger, and you put an article out there at arrowheadpride.com. Well, it's on your Twitter. It's on your Twitter. I don't think you linked it back to your website.
I did. We linked it back today. Yeah, used a quote from it was from March 15th when Matthew signed on.
Brett Veach, and I'll never forget that day. Were you with me that night, Julio? No, Dusty was. Dusty was with me that night, and everybody's mad. And I started the show talking about everybody being mad because Brett Veach wasn't doing anything. What's he doing? Just sitting around these free agents, and then they signed the Badger, and everybody's like happy. And I'll never forget just the reaction of people. I happened to be on when different things happened. Kareem Hunt was cut by the Chiefs right after a beer segment. And we stayed a little bit longer. But you had this quote in there from Brett Veach. You have a guy in Tyran, which is the ultimate chess piece here because he's not a box safety. He's not a free safety. He's not a slot corner. He's a guy that can really do everything. And the praise that he's getting from him and Andy Reid, Bill O'Brien had talked in Houston about it had been 2 weeks that he was there before being named captain. He said, this is what Bill O'Brien said. He's a guy who meant a lot to our locker room. He said this to the Houston Chronicle back at the Combine. He said, this is a guy who came in at the end of the offseason program. At the end of training camp was voted a team captain. I think that says a lot about the impact he had, not just the player. He's a good football player. He's a smart player. He's a versatile player. But also what he meant leadership-wise in the locker room, there's no doubt we would love to have Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, back. So players gone. Oftentimes coaches don't talk about players that are gone.
Right.
But obviously Bill O'Brien still wants him.
Yeah, they were in some sort of bidding war, and the Chiefs were able to pry him away from Houston's grubby paws. Houston moved on from their general manager after that. I'm not sure it's an exact correlation, but it's worth noting, I guess. Yeah, you can really hear in Bill O'Brien's voice that they felt, even in just the 1 year, he had made such an impression and was such a leader in their defense. They wanted him back, and he went to the Chiefs, and now he's one of the leaders. Based upon Reed's comments, it's Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark, and Anthony Hitchens that have kind of taken the lead since the departures of Barry and Houston and so on.
Even Andy Reid had said, it's a new beginning for a defense. Whatever direction it goes, none of us can predict the future. Whatever direction it goes, we have Mathieu here to help build on the other guys that are still on our football team. There will be changes as we go through this. This is the NFL. Things happen. This isn't the end of new people coming in. That's not where we are. This is back then, whether it's the draft or free agency. But we know what we have with the Honey Badger. And he's right. And you and I had a chance to catch up with the Honey Badger. And this ties into Brett Veach's car ride. as far as guys want to come play here now.
You love this car ride.
That was a great car ride. It was an absolutely great car ride. But you and I had a chance to talk to Mr. Badger, the Honey Badgers. Mr. Badger is
right. Oh, that's right. I forgot about this. Right after the press conference.
Right after the press conference, you had asked this question to him. This is your question. When you said, what did Pat Mahomes tell you on the phone? He said he spoke to Pat Mahomes. You asked him what they talked about. This is what he said.
I spoke with Pat. I spoke with Pat over the phone. He's probably been the guy I've been speaking to the most. And, you know, his whole thing is, you know, I got offense. I just need a guy to come in and really lead the defense in the right way. And that'll be my job. That'll be my task amongst a bunch of other things. But I think ultimately it's really coming and giving this team a defense a sense of who we are.
First of all, Pete, shame on you for forgetting that. It was your question for your story that
that's
you had.
That's how much I work. I totally forgot.
That would have been a nice soundbite because you put it in your article.
Right.
But you didn't put the soundbite from him, and you could have done it because it was your question. I'm giving you full credit for this. Hear that, right. Big Pete? Pete screwed up. But you could have put this in there, but that meant everything. You and I
calling you out.
It's already, that's like 100 stories ago.
You and I looked at each other when he said that, and we talked about it that night, later on that night, when we had a show, and we've been doing shows for a long time. But we talked about this. Again, this ties in to Brett Veach. Guys want to come. They want to come play for Pat.
Right.
You hear what Mahomes said. You take the defense. This is before Frank Clark and everybody else. But he telling Honey Badger, he take the defense. I'll take the – Andy Reid's talked about the fact he has the nickname, which is hard to get in the NFL. It means you have respect. It's the Honey Badger. I guarantee we'll be calling him the Honey Badger this year.
Reid actually called it probably not intending any pun here, but he called it a badge of honor, which works.
See what you did there.
He could have punned it.
Works well. Works well if you
it's clever.
Are into those dad jokes.
But this is what this team needed. I mean, they had to fill Eric Berry. And Honey Badger's talked about that, too, before. You know, SEC, he looked up to Berry because Berry was in the Tennessee Badger at LSU. He looked up to him, and he knew he had big shoes to fill. They needed leadership. And Eric Berry wasn't on the field much at all for the Chiefs, but they still respected him because when he was out there, the other guys would talk about it.
Right.
You know, he would know where to put people. People didn't know where to go. Berry put them in place. I think Eric Berry knew the defense better than Bob Sutton, to be 100% honest with you, and he wasn't on the field, which if he was on the field, the Chargers game probably would have been different, the one here at Arrowhead Stadium. But they see this in the Honey Badger. The defense desperately needed a Mahomes. And I'm not saying the Honey Badger is Mahomes. I'm not saying Frank Clark is Mahomes. But I'm saying they needed leadership. Like, Derek Johnson used to be a leader here. They needed that. Tombaugh Lee was more of a lead-by-example guy because he's kind of the Alex Gordon. You know, he's tough workout guy. He's always the guy after practice hitting the sled. But they needed the vocal leader, and I think they got it.
Yeah, and I think when you say goodbye to guys like Eric Berry and Justin Houston, it's a huge void, not only on the field, but off. And that was a point I think the Chiefs went with, and Matthew was a guy they targeted, and Frank Clark was another. And I think a lot of it, too, was the makeup. And Matthew comes, and you could tell like Reed and Veach were willing to say just how much they admired Matthew for those aspects of the player, and then even it was I thought it was a nice moment too when Frank Clark was signed and after the trade with the Seahawks during and I think it was right after his opening press conference, Matthew made a point of it in gym shorts to just go up and welcome him and say hello. And I don't know. I got the sense like right from that moment, it probably wouldn't be talked about much, but that was sort of the initiation of it being their team, like their defense. And you hear that Anthony Hitchens, who, as we have said, has highly complimented this new defense. I think he's got some new energy. And those three guys.
This is simpler.
Yeah, those three guys are going to be the ones that I think a lot of the players in the Chiefs locker room will look up to. And then they will also hold them accountable, you know, as this whole thing builds. What's most interesting about the Chiefs is this year, I mean, you sort of know what you have in Mahomes, which is a historic player and hopefully a high-powered offense. Again, a huge storyline of week one is these guys have never played together. So you need that leadership right from jump.
Wasn't it Hitchens that was talking about being simpler? You've been there for every press conference. That's some of the players have been saying. It's a simpler concept. And that takes me back to Pete Carroll always talking about keeping it simple. Don't let players overthink. Wasn't it Hitchens that said that?
I heard, yeah.
I think it was one of them.
And it sort of matched up with some things I had heard in the offseason where Sutton and the linebackers coaches within his regime, they wanted like the players to make reads after the play had already began, as opposed to knowing gaps before the play was snapped, something to that extent. And what Anthony Hitchens was basically confirming was, yeah, now it's very simplified. We know exactly what we have to do when the play begins. You know, you read your keys, you go. And so I think you hear that, and that's why, and part of the reason that I picked Anthony Hitchens and Reggie Ragland as my comeback candidates, because I think they had you know, tough years, and they took it personally that I think a lot of people were thinking it was them as opposed to maybe a system problem.
And I've referenced that book before by Pete Carroll. I actually think it's a really good book. Keep it simple, because when you're trying to overthink and think about, like, if I'm doing a show and worried about what you're doing, I can't do my job as well because I'm worried about what you're doing or what you're going to be saying.
Right.
And the same thing with football. If you're Eric Berry and you're constantly worried where the corners are, but once you can trust them and know that you don't have to save their butts, you can concentrate on your job, just like Hitchens. If you can concentrate on your job without worried about everybody else, you just keep it simple. People are overthinking it.
Yeah.
And I've seen that in football a lot of times, even on offense, where the players are thinking too much of what they have to do.
Case in point.
Instead of simplifying it, let them just do their job.
I remember when that odd play when D Ford was like running away from the ball, it seemed like there was a bit of confusion for a while now, you know, because that was a long time ago. And so, again, you get fresh life here with Steve Spagnuolo. We'll see if it works out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Spags, to Bubba Starling, newest Kansas City Royal from Gardner Edgerton High School. We talked to his former football coach earlier in the show, but Jeff Flanagan was on with the drive today. Cody Tapp was on as well, so the best of Tapp and Jeffrey Flanagan as they talked about what Bubba Starling means to the Kansas City Royals. Do that next.
The honey badger has been referred to by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most fearless animal in all of the animal kingdom. It really doesn't give a
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley and, of course, Pete Sweeney, Editor-in-Chief, Arrowhead Pride. Excuse me. That's where you're supposed to take over and talk, Pete, when I'm having trouble.
Cover your mouth.
No, that's why you have a co-host, because sometimes things happen.
Here I am, hanging out.
Terrible
with Bink.
He's just sitting back, look like he has feet up.
Hey, one time Ketz did the show with me, and I had to take a leak. And I had a guest, and it was bad. And I, like, really had to go.
Uh-oh.
And I told Ketz, you know, through this, like, because Ketz can talk, and I just kind of did the talk, and I went, I have no idea what they were talking about, but I came back, did the finish the interview, and Ketz hooked me up. Occasionally, you got to do that. One day, I was sitting here choking, and whoever's producing didn't hook me up. Hooked me out to dry. I was filling in for one of the afternoon shows or something. They hung me out to dry.
Sometimes we just like to see you struggle, babe.
I know.
Okay.
I know that.
It's fun to watch. I will say
it
that.
It is pretty entertaining from the side.
Struggling. Cody Tapp was on the drive earlier talking about Bubba, saying it was time for Bubba to come up.
It's time. It's been long enough. He's finally performing at his best. This is the time for him to get a shot. So I'm excited, you know, for a guy that went through everything he went through to finally get his call. That's a big moment.
Said the drive, I think it was actually Show and Vern. It was one of the two. But he also talks about the attendance boost. We've been talking how many extra people, and I think there'll be a lot of extra people. I'm not talking selling the place out, but there will be extra people coming to the game to see Bubba. This is what Cody thinks.
No, I think it's good for a weekend. I mean, he's a local kid. Ron pointed that out. That'll get you a boost for the whole weekend. I mean, I don't know. He'll have to keep performing well to give you that attendance boost the rest of the year, but people been waiting a long time to see him crack through, and for him to be, you know, a product of, you know, close, this level of close, there'll be a good boost, I think, all week, and that's what I would expect.
What are reasonable expectations for Bubba, Cody?
He's finally starting to figure out his offense. As far as, like, what type of player he is, this year he's a guy who shows, you know, who shows the ability that Billy Hamilton has in center, right? He's an excellent defender, and then maybe similar plate skills, but with the upside being better than that, because he actually has his power, right? He has power that can go with that, so he can run into a few. But I don't think he's going to be a high average guy. I don't think he's going to be a high on base percentage guy in the early going, because no part of his minor league career suggests that that's the way it's going. I think just occasional power, a really good center field, and a chance to, you know, improve a little bit offensively here.
His OPS is around 806. Nicky Lopez is over 900 down in Omaha. The Royals don't have anybody right now with an OPS over 900. Hunter Dozier is very close at $8.99. But here was Jeff Flanagan that joined
the Flan Man.
The Flan Man. MLB.com, Royals.com. Flan knows everything. Guys everywhere, just like Cody. But here was Flanny when he joined the drive talking about what to expect from Bubba Starling. Why now for Bubba, Flanny?
All right, three.
Well, it's either going to be now or at the end of the month when they possibly can move Billy Hamilton. You're not going to bring up a guy like Bubba and just have him sit on the bench. You're not really going to have Billy Hamilton sit on the bench either. They're still probably in negotiations with teams out there to try to move him. So I just talked to Dayton a few minutes ago, and they really did want to honor the AAA All-Star assignment that he was given, and that was a big deal to him. And so, look, it's July, whatever it is, July 11th. We're 2 or 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. Let's push the envelope a little bit and do it now.
At this point, what do you think is a fair expectation from the fan base to expect from Bubba Starling?
I think pretty much what they expected from Nicky Lopez. There's a certain, as you guys know, you follow on Twitter too, there's a certain expectation that there's going to be a savior that's going to come up here, and I don't think that's it. Bubba has had, for the first time in his minor league career, a ton of success, and the Royals front office, their scouts, their development people are very excited for him. But to expect him to come up here and slaughter the ball, I don't think that will happen. But the one thing that they really love about Bubba, and they've always loved about him, is he plays tremendous defense. So he'll get an opportunity to play in the outfield. Dayton said he obviously can play all three outfield positions. So he'll be in some right. He'll play some center. He can at least do that at the big league level almost as well as anyone. The offense is probably going to be a little bit like Nicky, where it's a struggle at first, and then he kind of comes around later.
You follow this as closely as anybody. What's been the biggest hurdle for Bubba to get up here finally to the major leagues, and what change have you noticed from a guy who at one point in his career seemed like he could go in a completely different direction to kind of get him back on this major league path?
That's a good question. Before the 17 season in spring training, right before he got his first oblique injury, I thought I saw a different Bubba. I thought I saw a guy who was much more confident at the plate. Pitch selection was much better. And then really all of 18 was wasted with the oblique injuries. And he's had a ton of injuries through his career. But he came to the spring training this year and looked like a different guy. He really was solid offensively. We know the defense is there. He's got a really strong arm. He's been a really plus player offensively that I don't know if the Royals really expected he would turn into. Now, that's a small sample size. We're just talking about 3 months at Omaha, hitting over 300, 7 home runs, 38 RBIs, wherever it's been. And it's going to be a challenge for him when he gets up here. But he's 26. He's going to be 27 on August 3rd. Maybe some of that age helps a little bit in terms of, you know, just being able to handle life at this level. So I would encourage fans not to get, you know, too overhyped about his production offensively when he gets up here. But you never know. You just never know how players will respond.
Right now we're talking to Jeffrey Flanagan of MLB.com. The breaking news of the day, the Royals have called up Bubba Starling for his major league debut at Kauffman Stadium tomorrow. Sean asked you about short-term expectations. What are the long-term expectations? Is he a guy who can play every day for you in the outfield? Is he a guy that is maybe a utility fourth outfielder? Like, what now should expectations be for Bubba Starling moving forward?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Gary. I think it's got to be an everyday guy. I mean, he was the number one draft pick. I mean, coming out of Kansas, he was so highly sought after, and people have made fun of that draft pick for years, but as a local team, you can't, like, not pick him. That's like not picking Albert Pujols, you know. I mean, he had such credentials coming out of high school. So I think he's, at this point in time, they're looking at him as an everyday guy, but we'll see. I mean, the question I have, too, is, you know, now that, Nicky Lopez is up here and Bubba's up here and, you know, Lovelady and Zimmer were up here, who's the next Twitter Royals fan attachment that has to get up here in the next 5 minutes? I don't know. I mean, it might be Cahill Lee, who's their next center fielder of the future. So we'll see. But, Bubba can be a productive guy. Like you mentioned, he could be a fourth outfielder or a fifth outfielder, but, I mean, right off the bat, if they're able to move Billy Hamilton, he will certainly take over the center field job.
You mentioned this is kind of, Jeffrey, the local kid making good. Obviously, Bubba played his high school sports at Gardner-Edgerton. What do you think the level of excitement is going to be from a fan base that needs something to get excited about at this point?
Well, from what we've seen on Twitter, it's going to be pretty huge, I think. I mean, it's going to be maybe even a little bit more than Nicky Lopez, because when Nicky got called up last month, I mean, there was a lot of outcry on Twitter about him getting here, and there's a lot of excitement when he did get here. And as you guys both know, he struggled the first few weeks out of the gate, and now he's kind of really settled in. I think we'll see the same thing out of Bubba. He might, you know, when pitchers don't know him the first week or two, he might, you know, have some success early on. But after that, he'll probably go through some struggles. But, look, the bottom line is he's a tremendous athlete, just a tremendous athlete. And you're going to see great defense out of him no matter what he does offensively.
Right now we're talking to Jeffrey Flanagan of MLB.com for a couple more minutes. So today you wrote a column regarding the Royals and the trade deadline. Let's just start with the basic question. What are your expectations as the Royals move into the trade deadline, which is now 2 weeks away?
Well, it's different this year, as you guys know. There's no waiver trade deadline, so everything's going to happen by July 31st, or it won't happen. And there's plenty of guys with expiring contracts that they really need to move. You know, I think Homer Bailey would have some attractiveness to other teams. You know, his numbers don't really pop right now, but he's a guy that can still throw 94, 95 with a good splitter, knows how to pitch. I think he could help a contender as a lower rotation guy down the road. You got Billy Hamilton, obviously, somebody now that Bubba's up. They'll really try to move. Martin Maldonado will be another guy who's really picked it up offensively in the last few weeks. And, you know, former Gold Glove catcher, I think he'll have some value. Jake Diekman will have a little bit of value. His numbers don't really stand up to how good a pitcher I think he is. I mean, he's a guy who throws 97, 98 with a wipeout slider, but he just had some really bad outings that makes his numbers look bad. But other than that, you know, maybe Willie Peralta gets a little bit of interest. I don't know. But they definitely got some moves to make in the next 3 weeks.
There's Jeff Flanagan, MLB.com, Royals.com. He was on with Carrington and Sean Levine talking about possible moves because the Royals do need to make a move. And by the way, Bubba cannot be sent back down. Now that he's on the 40-man roster, they're going to have to make a move.
Yeah, I mean, this is what the final part of the season is going to be like. You'll be interested in how Bubba does. How, of course, the core does, and then who are the prospects they can compile for whatever it is they can trade. That's what the rest of the season.
Next year gets real. Guys like Khalil Lee and Jackson Coar and Brady Singer knocking on the door. That's when it gets real. That's when it gets real, real. And it gets real, real when Bobby Witt Jr. gets here. By the way, he's Gatorade Player of the Year now, too. He won that award, too. Guy wins everything. Let's go to Ginger Inley Summit real quick. Wants to talk ball. What's up, Ginger?
Well, I listen to you guys all the time. I listen to the guys on the morning show, the afternoon. Now you guys are in the evening. I've listened to you at different times.
Thanks, Gigi.
And I'm very much a Royals fan. I watch just about every game. I don't attend a lot of them, but I do watch them. And what I don't understand, and first of all, I want to make it clear, I am not a baseball expert. But I do know management, and I do know decision making. And what I don't understand is nobody in this team, at least nobody on the radio, is pointing a finger at Ned Yost and his management and his coaching abilities and the decisions that he's made throughout the year. Because as far as I'm concerned, and I've talked to other fans, many of the decisions that Ned has made throughout the year have cost us our game.
Ginger, let me slow you down. You said you're in management?
I used to be in management. I'm now retired.
You're now retired.
I'm now a retired marketing director of marketing. So I know management.
Well congratulations. Let me ask you this, Ginger. So when you were in management, did you have to deal with what you were given? Were you able to make your own decisions, or did you get to hire the people you wanted?
Well, I get to hire the people I wanted, but sometimes when it first starts out, you end up with people.
Yeah.
And I agree that you work and build the people, but hasn't he given enough?
Were you ever the best at what you did? Did you ever win any awards, the best marketing manager ever?
I was a marketing manager for a little company. I don't care about awards. I'm worried. I'm concerned. And my concern is in the last couple years, the decisions that he makes when he's managing the team, when he makes decisions of who he puts in, how long he leaves them in, when he pulls them out. Those have been some bad decisions.
Well, I understand that, Ginger. I understand your problems. He doesn't have Wade Davis to throw in there. He doesn't have vintage Kelvin Herrera to throw in there. He didn't have Greg Holland to throw in there. And the reason I asked if you ever had people in management that you had to manage because you didn't hire him, Ned only can play what he plays. This team is not built to win right now. This team is built for development. Ned has done a great job, in my opinion. And I'm not just a shill because we carry the Royals. I think Ned's done a fantastic job because I'll tell you this. There's a lot about this guy that people don't understand. His ability, being an old-school guy, to relate to the younger players. It's why they won. It's why they started to get good in 13. It's why they went all the way to the final weekend against the White Sox in 2013 before being eliminated. It's why they made it to Game 7 of the World Series in 2014. It's why they won a World Championship in 15. It's about creating a culture. And Ned's one of the masters at that. And I will say this, too. Ned's not a quitter, either. Ned could have rode off into the sunset like John Gibbons in Toronto, who's having to go through a rebuild. Ned said, you know what? I don't care if my baseball reference pages is taking a bunch of L's. He was willing to do it because he's seen it before. He's seen the growth and development of players. Now, you can't control when Willie Peralta or Jake Diekman comes in there and gives up a bunch of stuff. That's not on Ned. Ned can't put in Mariano Rivera. He's got to do what he's got. It's that simple. By the way, we have some breaking news. I guess Westbrook traded to the Rockets.
Yeah, the latest Woj bomb from ESPN, the Oklahoma City Thunder have agreed to trade Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul. First-round picks in 2024 and 2026. Pick swaps in 2021 and 2025. League sources tell ESPN. Those are two major names that have just swapped teams.
Yeah, it just got real.
It did just get real. More on that. I've got some more thoughts on the NBA and these stars everywhere. We get to that. Plus, I'll take your calls on the conversation we're having about Bubba Starling coming up to the Kansas City Royals. And Demetrius Harris is going to teach the Browns how to win. Yes, that's next. Welcome back to Bink at Night. The meanie, Jay Binkley. Pete Sweeney.
Can you leave Ginger alone? Just leave Ginger alone.
I'm already getting tweeted at.
Yeah,
such
well.
A bully. Listen, this Ginger is a fine caller. I like Ginger's call, but I'm just saying, this whole bashing Ned Yost thing, when it doesn't matter. The season doesn't matter.
She doesn't like you now.
The guy just won a ring, and you already want him gone again.
He didn't just win a ring, but it was a little hot.
You know, he won one in 15. You were out of diapers when he won it, all right? He brought a world championship here for a team that has the worst television contract in baseball, small market, and he and Dayton built the impossible. Because guess what? Small market teams aren't winning world championships in baseball. They're
picking
just
on,
not.
Picking on sweet old ladies. Now I'm not.
I don't care if Ginger
guys.
Was a dude.
And small markets.
I don't care if Come Ginger on, was man. A dude. I don't Come care on. If she was rocked up dude on roids that called it. I don't care. I'm tired of the Ned blasting. It just gets to me.
If she was hot, you would care.
No, I do care. I do care. I don't care what Ginger looked like.
I bet she's beautiful.
Ginger could be my mom, and I wouldn't have cared. I'd have had the same take.
You wouldn't talk to your mom like that.
Let's go to the text line and see if I'm still mad. Big T and Shawnee, cheer me up.
Hey, man, that was awesome. But, you know, come on. Ned Yost is going to have a statue, you guys.
Yes,
out
Big
in front
T.
of Royal Stadium, yes. It's all said and done.
Yes.
I mean, and if you look about it, we almost went back-to-back. We were like an Alex Gordon away to maybe being safer home, but they kept him at third. But anyway, Ned Yost is not the problem. Our pitching staff is a turd, everybody. Like being said, it doesn't matter. So calm down. Calm down, lady. It'll be okay. The Royals will be relevant in 2022.
Calm down,
because I'm on the train to say, hey, if the right trade comes along, trade Witt. Because our pitching staff is horrible, everybody. We got a couple guys down the minors. But not much, and we got to retool that pitching staff and get some guys up here. We got Bobby Witt Jr. So they're going to have some guys, but I would get rid of Witt. I would get rid of Gordo if the right thing came along. I would get rid of Duffy. I know this is not popular. And then this last one, I would even consider Salvador Perez if the right package came along.
What about Slugger?
Man, even him too. We need
Marion Kaufman.
Bring the W guy back. Trade him away.
Heck Yeah, but, you know, Bubba Starling and everybody, I'm so excited about that. This makes the second half even funner. I know they're not going to do much, but bringing Bubba Starling up, putting him up, that's the right thing to do. People will love to come see him. I will go see that guy just because he comes up because he's a local guy from Garter, and I'm rooting him on. Hey. And another people I'm rooting on tomorrow is the 6'10 wiffle ball team. We'll be out there, old Shawnee Pizza, with our pizza stand selling slices. Mm. And let's get the Royals going and that train rolling. And come by and see Big T and all of this crew at the old Shawnee Pizza stand.
Hey, Big T, before you choo-choo, let me say this. Shout out that bacon cheeseburger pizza at Old Shawnee Pizza. That's what I'm talking about. That'll put me in a good mood.
What has happened to the show?
It's the best pizza you've ever had, Pete. Shut up.
How has this gotten off the rails like it has?
Just for saying that, I'm going to put a cheeseburger pizza. Keep it small, keep it simple, but we'll take care of you.
What the hell is happening? What is happening?
Hey, tomorrow, the 6'10 wiffle ball team, what you going to do when they go running wild on you? Everybody come out and see us. And as always, let's go Royals. Choo-choo! Choo-choo!
Big Hulk Hogan guy.
The 6'10 wiffle ball team got beat by 9-year-old girls last year.
Did they really?
It was bad.
I didn't get into my...
I'm not kidding. There's actually girls hitting home runs against the 6'10 crew.
Who's playing?
Our team...
Who's playing?
Well, everybody plays. Everybody from 6'10 plays.
Are you going down?
In case you just looked at us, we're not very athletic around here.
Speak for yourself. Kylie asked me to play. I'm unavailable tomorrow.
Well, Kylie is athletic.
Right. Me and Julio could run you and basketball all day.
But we're pretty bad. But this cheeseburger pizza, full Shawnee pizza, is legit. And you know what? He's right. Ned Yost, the winningest manager we've had. He's got more wins. He's got a ring. There will be a Ned statue. Guess what? Used to it. There is going to be a Ned statue.
Is that confirmed?
No, it's not been confirmed, but I guarantee it.
Do you think they'll put a Bink statue?
No, hell no. I think there might be a Salvi one, too, because somebody's got to be put out there about this whole regime that we had. We need a star put out there from this latest run. Could be Salvi,
could
be
Cordo. What we should have done is put Ginger and Big T.
I put Ned out there.
On the phone with each other at the same time.
I'm holding a bottle of creamy green garlic old Shawnee pizza sauce right now.
Ginger, you call anytime. You're a friend of the show, and I appreciate you calling in. You too, Big T. Bring some bacon cheeseburger pizza, too. Double J, what's up?
Hey, not much. Thanks for taking the call. Look, I'm excited for Bubba. He's a Kansas City native. I can't wait to see what he can do for this team, for this young ball team that we have. And Ned, he's doing a fantastic job with this team this year. I mean, he didn't have much to work with, but we're rebuilding. And I'm so excited for the future. I'm excited to see what we're going to do second half of the season. If you think about it, most of these guys played last year at the second half, and we played 500 ball just about. So that's
Five games under second half of the season.
I'm excited.
I was kind of the forgotten Royals insider, but I did, do a second half last year. Vern was 41 games under 500 before the switch. I was 5 games under the second half of the season. Just throwing that out there.
Humble brag.
Everybody keeps talking about the torch being passed from Vern to Cody. You're forgetting about Mike Livingston. You know what I'm saying? You're forgetting about that. You're forgetting about Earl Morrill. You're forgetting, what am I, chopped liver?
You did a nice job.
I was
job.
5 games under. A football guy doing baseball, and I think I did a fine job.
You did a good job.
Thank you, Pete.
I have said the rankings for Royals Insider go, obviously, Cody Tapp, number one. Then Bink. Then Vern, your distant third.
Vern was really good.
Vern distant was the franchise.
Third. Yeah, distant.
Vern was the franchise here. Everybody knew Vern. Everybody loved Vern, too. Let me tell you.
Still do.
When I took over for Vern, it's kind of like taking over for a legend. I'm sure Kleiman's going to see some of this at Kansas State with Bill Snyder.
Vern did an excellent job, but if the team wins the World Series during your tenure, you're going to have a better shot of being loved.
Vern was the most known person we have at
6'10. In all seriousness, Vern was the
most known person, but I'm with you, Pete, and thank you for putting me ahead of him in the rankings because I agree with you on that, actually. But Vern did a great job. People loved Vern. People almost loved Vern too much.
Well, it certainly helps.
Vern's getting married because of being a Royals insider.
It certainly helps when you're calling, 2014-2015 season.
Yeah,
the
no question.
Peak of Royals baseball.
No
question. That certainly helps.
Any of us would have been great Royals insiders in 14 and 15, and people would have loved us.
Say anything.
We'd have Twitter followers like Vern. Coming up next, I'll get to Demetrius Harris and how he's going to teach the Browns.
We should talk about this trade a little bit, too.
Well, let's talk about the trade, too. Rockets. Harden. Guess what? He's got a partner now named Russell Westbrook. We discussed that next.
They're back.
Welcome back to Big Night. Russell Westbrook, now with the Rockets. And Pete, him and Harden, joining back up. Here's my thing. And we talked about it last week. We talked about it Sunday. The NBA, the stars are everywhere. The stars in the NBA have been spread out everywhere. I told you, I think there's five teams that can win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
The NBA has more teams that can win a ring next year than what the NFL has because these superstars are everywhere.
Yeah.
Look out for the Rockets.
It's a bit more wide open now. It's going to be fun, I think, to see Westbrook now back with Harden again in a different uniform. I feel like they must feel like they have some unfinished business from their Thunder days. Westbrook's always fun to watch because he's so passionate, and as everyone knows, he's not afraid to shoot the basketball. I wonder how Chris Paul reacts to going to the OKC Thunder. I'm imagining at the age of 34, not too pleased.
Can't be happy.
You know, everybody's put that dirt on the Warriors. I think the Chiefs could help put that dirt on the Patriots. And they ended up winning that game as well. I think that would be the big. Do you agree with me? That'd be a big storyline.
What's that?
The Patriots done is the dynasty over. Had the Chiefs beaten the Pats in the AFC title game, would people be saying, are they done?
I mean,
Mahomes would have been this young guns. Got it. No dynasty anymore.
Not in Boston.
It's tough because
in Boston,
in back-to-back years, they would have gone to the final two and then the final four. It's tough to say a team's done when they just did that back-to-back. It's getting to a point now here, though. Like, if Mahomes really does improve, and that means the Chiefs should win the AFC title, I think people might start to ask the question, how is anyone going to beat this guy? You know, that question I could see being asked. But as far as the Patriots being dead, I got to see it first. I got
to
see it.
How long have people been trying to bury them? I mean, it's been, what, 2-3-4 seasons?
Ever since 2014, the night before the wild card game, when the Chiefs pasted them 42-14. You remember that?
There's been so many times.
People were talking about Garoppolo going in the game instead of Brady. It was the night before the wild card game.
There's been so many times over the years when the Patriots were, quote, unquote, done. Like, I remember in a 2000s playoff game when the Ravens, like, won, it demolished them in the playoffs. They're like, oh, is this over? And then, no, of course not. I'm not ready. I'm not going to be fooled. A fifth time of Tom Brady coming back from the dead.
That was the same year that Belichick was like on the Cincinnati. He goes and wins the ring. And they've been three Super Bowls?
Chiefs knocked off the Seahawks and the Patriots that year. I don't think they make the playoffs.
Patriots won two rings and been the three Super Bowls since they were done. Imagine that. All right, Reggie, I want to get to my Demetrius Harris. This says that you want to talk Ned Yost, which is incredibly strange, Reggie, because you're a football guy. And you
like
a baseball take.
I like
Reggie
it.
Reggie in Anaheim. Shoot.
Oh, man. As an unofficial contributor to 610, man, I find myself to be very well-rounded and versed in all aspects.
Yeah, come on now.
Self-deemed.
So,
you're a little cocky here, Reggie.
I like that.
Hey, not a little bit, man. I'm peacocking all the way around here.
No shame.
Hey, but real quick, two things. Yeah, I wanted to address Ned Yost. I also want to real quick. I feel like I should take at least 2% of the credit for Burns' popularity in Kansas City, because I used to call his post-game show in Anaheim religiously, and I was bigging him up on Twitter the whole 10 yards, man.
Well, I'll give you 8%.
All right, cool. Yeah, I appreciate that, because I was loving Burns. I still love Vern up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think everybody
that's the homie right there.
No, Vern's, yeah, Vern's the best.
Everybody likes
him. Man. Like, I've always been a big fan of Vern. Now, on the Ned Yost take, you know, I find it interesting that a fan base who was horrid, not bad, horrid since 1985 and recently went to back-to-back World Series, I find it interesting that, and I know it's a vocal minority, that people are actually conjuring up thoughts and uttering verbiage to say that Ned Yost is Ned Yost's fault, or Ned Yost should be fired. And it's like this man performed a Christ-like miracle and raised his franchise from the dead.
It's like Kansas and Mangino winning an Orange Bowl, you know?
Right, and he didn't even ascend into the clouds like Christ. He's still here in a uniform. You dig what I'm saying? So I just don't understand how we could fix our mouths or our minds to even get to that threat. As far as I'm concerned, man, Ned Yost can leave whenever the hell he gets ready to leave.
Right.
That's the first point. Second point is, and I think you guys have brought this up several times and maybe some other shows on 610, there has been no great development of starting pitching. And within the last 3 years, I would say, since those two high school kids from Indiana, the Royals have really invested major resources into the pitching staff. And
absolutely.
So that's going to take Right, that's going to take time. Now, I think from an offensive perspective, you can already start to see the seeds starting to germinate.
Absolutely.
And produce some small fruits with the athleticism and the offense in general. And this is without Salvador Perez, and this is without the kids that we got coming up. I want to see Khalil Lee up here pretty soon. That's what I want to see.
Well, you'll probably see him sooner rather than later.
Well, hopefully we see him at the end of this year. So to end my point, I just want to caution people that I live in L.A., man. I live in Anaheim, work in L.A. I live in a big market town. The Dodgers suck.
Okay? But L.A.'s
big? Oh, God, come on. And Anaheim. I mean, you put the whole Southern California, Anaheim, San Diego, and the Dodgers, and they've had no World Series between the three of them in the last 10 years, bro. And they got billions of dollars to spend on everything. I mean, TV money, merchandise money, the whole 10 yards. And the Royals are a small market team in what was considered flyover country for a long time. And they went to back-to-back World Series. And we about to come back up on that ass. And we about to be back in the World Series before any jumps out here on the left coast. So I would just say, man, sit at the table, wait for another World Series to come, and until then, go Chiefs, baby.
Yo, Reggie in Anaheim right there.
He's got a great point.
He's bringing it strong.
I've been saying that about the lineup, man. If they could somehow get some decent pitching, I don't know if they're making the playoffs anytime soon, but at least it would be interesting and competitive.
You can't look at the Royals without looking at the minor leagues. Dayton Moore had a plan to rebuild the minor leagues.
Right.
And you know what he's doing? And we talked about homegrown pitching, all right? Duffy, if Urdana was still here, Urdana would be part of that. Sean Manaea was used in a trade for Ben Zobrist. They traded five pitchers away to get Cueto and Zobrist. I mean, they paid the price. And you know what?
It's worth it.
And people said, what did they think for Keenan Hosmer? No, they got Coar and Lynch. And Lynch is a top 70 prospect in all of baseball. All these guys are coming up here. They're drafted when Dayton Moore went crazy on pitching. Brady Singer, who was in the Futures game. Chris Bubich, who was in the Futures game from Stanford, was in there. And also, don't forget, there's names like Jonathan Bolin that people aren't talking about. He's been elevated to Wilmington. He was part of that draft class as well from Memphis. He's 3-1 with the 2.16 ERA. Now, Dayton Moore has built this farm system up. You will see the fruits of this labor, or the fruits of his labor, when we keep going. And I said in 2015, I will take mediocre baseball if you give me a ring. Because it'd been so far give me mediocre baseball. Ned is the perfect guy to manage young guys, and I will continue to say that.
I was thinking that when Reggie was talking, I was saying to myself, okay, well, how many years does a championship buy you as far as confidence go? And that's why the ginger call took me off guard a little bit before, because how could you be dissatisfied right now? There's a plan in place. You've seen it work before. You kind of know what's coming. You know what the Royals are this year. How could you be expecting them to do anything this year? It's just insane to me. Again, I guess after X amount of years, you start to get that craving for playoff baseball. I can't necessarily blame her.
Spoiled.
But I'll tell you what. I mean, I don't think it's too far off, especially with like how this lineup looks to me.
Pete, coming up next. Damn it, I'm going to get to Demetrius Harris. I've been talking about Demetrius Harris for a long time. I will block
everything
else. Join
us in 2020
else.
For
we're
Demetrius
talking
Harris.
Demetrius Harris, and we're talking Pro Football Hall of Fame. Do the Chiefs have any Hall of Famers? Sporting News says they do. Talk about that next.
Bang.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.